This is OPB Radio's Quick Take Northwest from Monday, the 2nd of April, 2007. No foolin', I'm April Bear. Psst, don't let this get around. But in Astoria, they're taking it all off this week. Clatsop Community College is preparing to host Au Naturel, the nude in the 21st century. This is the first time that a juried international art exhibition has been held at one of Oregon's community colleges. A reception for the artists is happening tomorrow night. Speaking of taking your clothes off in the name of artistic endeavors, have you seen that new movie playing at Cinema 21, Eloquent Nude? It's about a young woman from Portland who inspired some breathtaking nude photography created by Edward Weston. Through the course of their relationship, though, she became a true collaborator in a way that few models ever do. The last few screenings are happening now through Thursday. If you want information about the movie or about the exhibition in Astoria, it's there, and it's bare, at today's Quick Take page, online at opb.org in the radio area. If you caught any of the top-of-the-hour newscasts this morning, you might have heard that there was a strong earthquake near the Solomon Islands yesterday afternoon. Magnitude 8.1, that's huge. No need to worry, though. Scientists at the Tsunami Warning Center in Palmer, Alaska, have been keeping an eye on things, and they say that the quake, while big, was not sufficient to generate the kind of wave that would hit Oregon and Washington. Some places on the West Coast may notice a change in sea level today, but nothing damaging. Oregon is among the highest taxing states for low-income families, according to a new report by a nonpartisan think tank that looks at the role of income tax state by state. Correspondent Elizabeth Wynn Johnson has more.
Washington has no state income levy. Idaho's income tax burden is middle of the pack nationwide. For policy analyst Jason Levitis of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, the Northwest offers an interesting range of tax approaches.
Taxes can either help poor families get out of poverty, or it can tax them deeper into poverty. In some states, including Oregon, unfortunately, poor families can be charged hundreds of dollars in income tax.
That's a heavy anchor for people who are trying to pull themselves out of poverty and into the middle class. Still, Levitis says income tax is overall the most progressive type of tax. Sales tax hits lower income people harder. Idaho recently raised its sales tax to offset a reduction in property taxes. Now lawmakers are tussling over formulas for the state's grocery tax credit to offset the impact on the state's working poor. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reporting.
Homeless advocates have been keeping an eye on low-income populations in Central Oregon, and they say that the ranks of people without a permanent address increased by half in the Bend area in the past year. A one-day count was held back in January, and it found more than 2,000 people were staying in shelters, on the street, in their cars, or just camping out. Their count covered Deschutes, Jefferson, and Crook counties. For the most part, this is just about the high cost of living in and around Bend. Federal housing statistics show that last year, Bend had the fastest home price appreciation rate of any metro area in the country. The advocates believe that Central Oregon would need to add nearly 9,500 affordable housing units by next year in order to meet demand. City councilors in Bend are expected to name someone today to replace a member of council who stepped down recently. Rob Manning reports.
John Hummel created the vacancy last month when he abruptly announced he was leaving Bend to fight poverty in Africa. It's up to the city council to name a replacement to serve out Hummel's term through 2008. So far, councilors have narrowed the field from 13 to 6. Mayor Bruce Abernathy says they should pick a replacement today. He says he and his colleagues know what they're looking for.
Speaking personally, I found that I went through an incredible learning curve of what I thought I knew or what I thought I understood as a candidate versus when I was actually a member of the council. And so, for me, experience is important.
Abernathy says he could live with any of at least three of the finalists. He says he doesn't think councilors are shopping for political allies in their decision. In the preliminary vote that narrowed the field, former city councilor Kathy Ekman was the frontrunner. Rob Manning, OPB News.
Members of the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps are beginning another deployment along the northwest Washington border with Canada, the group's opposed to illegal immigration. This is the fourth time in less than 2 years that members of the Minutemen will be keeping watch. Their range stretches from Blaine to Sumas in Whatcom County. The territory they're patrolling is actually a pretty short stretch of the Washington-Canada border. It's something like the distance between Portland and St. Helens. Their watch is also taking place at some other spots on the U.S.-Canadian border in other states. The Minutemen say that they do not apprehend illegal immigrants themselves, but alert Border Patrol agents to what they call suspicious activity. One volunteer coordinator tells the Seattle Times he's expecting something like 40 to 45 people to take part. The nationwide pet food recall appears to have sickened about 100 animals all across Oregon. The recall expanded over the weekend as Del Monte pulled several of its products from shelves, including treats, in addition to the wet dog food brands that you'd heard about earlier. Some of the brands involved in the recall include Menu Foods, Hill's Pet Nutrition, and Nestle Purina Pet Care. The Oregon Veterinary Medical Association says at least 94 animals, 31 dogs, 63 cats might have experienced kidney dysfunction from the tainted food, and at least 32 animals in Oregon have died. More than 100 people from Oregon are in New Orleans this week, helping to rebuild following Hurricane Katrina. They're contributing everything from elbow grease to books. Christian Fotenvenzel reports.
18 months after the levees burst, New Orleans is still in tatters. Of 110 schools running before the floods, only 26 have since reopened. A quarter of a million people are still without homes. To show the city they haven't been forgotten, civic leaders from across Oregon took a so-called flight of freedom to Louisiana. Portland Mayor Tom Potter is among them.
Part of the purpose of this trip is to give hope to the people of New Orleans that there are other cities, there are other communities that care about their welfare, and that we know that it could happen to any of us.
Potter and others will work on a park refurbishment project, tour the Ninth Ward, and meet community and business leaders. The flights of friendship and freedom started after the attacks of 9/11, with Oregonians traveling to New York. Flights have since been taken to Indonesia following the tsunami and New Orleans. Christian Fodenvenzel, OPB News.
A Portland-area man has been arrested after police found two of his children traveling in the trunk of his car for a family vacation. The Washington County Sheriff's Office says that Douglas Willie, his fiancée, and their four kids were taking a trip to Seaside. The car did not fit six people, though, so Willie had a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old traveling in the trunk to avoid taking a second car. The kids had been riding back there for about 20 miles when police pulled him over. They'd gotten a tip from someone who saw the kids in the trunk at a gas station. Willie was arrested. The fiancée took the four children home after they were safely placed in the car with seatbelts. Here's a quick driving trip this morning if you're headed in or out of Portland from the west side today. That segment of Highway 26 that was closed due to a landslide last week will remain closed indefinitely. Crews were out there all weekend trying to stabilize the hillside. The engineers figure that a large mass of dirt on the hillside remains unstable, and they're going to need much larger equipment in order to get it out of there. The machines are supposed to get to Portland sometime this week, but there's no telling how long the work's going to take. So for the foreseeable future, a 300-foot segment of the far right lane near the Vista Ridge Tunnel will remain closed. In sports news, the University of Oregon softball team took a loss to Stanford 15-4 yesterday. So much for the Ducks' 15-game winning streak. Later this week, Oregon hosts Oregon State in a Civil War game. Weather today still looks pretty springy. Partly cloudy conditions for the coast and the valley, with a chance of rain showers to the north. All that rain over Portland, Vancouver, Tillamook, and Astoria should be decreasing, though, by this afternoon, and will end the day dry. Temperatures in the 50s. In the Cascades, watch for some snow, with levels rising to 3,000 feet by this afternoon. Central Oregon looks partly cloudy today and breezy, highs in the upper 40s. And Eastern Oregon's a bit of a mix. Some clouds moving in today, but there will be some intermittent sunny times. We have a slight chance of rain and snow showers, mostly above 3,500 feet, but it's going to be dry today in Baker County and also in Lake County. Temperatures ranging from the mid-40s to the mid-50s. By the way, we're hearing that tonight it's going to get very cold, with lows dropping down to the mid-teens. Today's featured music, just a whim of mine, really. One of my all-time favorite records by one of my all-time favorite jazz musicians, Rahsaan Roland Kirk. This live version of Serenade to a Cuckoo is really just more fun than anyone should be allowed to have. About a million years ago, I was working a morning shift in a small town in Ohio, and they allowed me to play an hour of live music every day before the news got rolling. Talk about the lunatics running the asylum. I played this track one morning. I thought it was a kicky way to start the day, but immediately the phone started ringing. A listener who said it was just too much for 5:15 a.m. But you can handle it, can't you? There was a dishy little item on Morning Edition today about the relationship between Ernest Hemingway and Marlene Dietrich. Their letters have just been published. Liebchen, check it out. I posted the link for you. Also, fascinating story about Amy Semple McPherson, that blaze of glory who practically invented what we now call televangelism. You can listen to the story by following my link, and don't miss the film on OPB Television tonight at 9 p.m. One other thing, Peter Overby defended his title as Sultan of Silly on today's Morning Edition with a wrap-up of the presidential fundraising game. The numbers are enough to make you dizzy, but the really beautiful thing was his use of the Bee Gees to illustrating who is raking in the most cash. Looking at the calendar for this week, Richard Swift is playing a show at the Doug Fir tomorrow night. He has a sound that reminds me a bit of my most guilty 70s pop pleasures. Harry Nilsson, Burt Bacharach, that kind of stuff. The opening act, strangely enough, is a Bowie-esque kind of guy from Chicago named David Vanderveld. Should be interesting. Don't forget that this Wednesday night, investigative reporter Seymour Hirsch has a speaking engagement in Vancouver. He has blown open some riveting stories from Abu Ghraib to the U.S.'s growing comfort level with Sunni extremist groups. This one is a sure sellout. Be sure to get your tickets now if you think you want to go. Also, there's a hot show that night at the Wonder Ballroom. The Gossip returns to a Portland stage for the first time in what seems like forever. Information on all these events and the stories I mentioned can be found online at the Quick Take page. Catch it at opb.org in the radio area. That's it for the podcast. See you tomorrow. Signing off, I'm April Baer.